Hello, everybody. This is Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. We are grateful that you have decided to spend the next 30 minutes with us studying God's Word. I am Miguel Gonzalez. The title of this message today is The Consequences of Immaturity. The passage we're going to be looking at is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. But before we do that, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful for your son. We're thankful that we were able to celebrate the real reason for the season as we reflected on the birth of your son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that we have done that, it is time for us to move forward and grow in our faith so that we may be able to become effective servants of the kingdom. May you speak to our hearts and our minds as we look at your word, for it is in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, if you were with us the last 2 weeks, we preached on some messages that celebrated and reminded us of the significance of Christmas. But Christmas comes and then life goes on, and there's an expectation on God's part that we start growing in our faith in order to become effective witnesses and servants. We were created by God not only to worship Him, but to serve Him. And He has great plans for all of our lives. There are works that He has created for us to do beforehand. And it should be our desire and passion in life to find out what those works are that He has created, what that plan is for our lives, so that we may fulfill it and experience life as it was meant to be experienced. We should come to a place in our faith and in our life in which all we want to do is that which God wants us to do. We want to live a life that we want to walk in accordance to His will, whatever His will might be. There is no greater accomplishment in my estimation than actually walking and living in a way in which God is consistently and continually glorified. But there are consequences for immaturity, and many of us remain immature because we fail to learn from God's Word what it is that we must do to continue to grow in our faith. Now that Christmas is past, many of us were reminded and perhaps regenerated by the fact that we were reminded of the reason for the season. As we reflected on who it is that was born and who it was that died on that cross, perhaps the Holy Spirit convicted us of many things as Christians. And there might have been many of you through this holiday season, this Christmas season, this Christmas season, who may have come into a personal relationship with Christ. And if you have, you may be asking, what's next? Well, we're going to talk about what's next. And we're going to talk about something that you want to be greatly aware of so that you don't do it, and therefore grow in your faith and become the person God wants you to become. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. This is what the author of Hebrews says. We have much to say about this, and what he's talking about is the preceding verses where he had been talking about Jesus as the great high priest. He says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for those, for the mature, who by consistent use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That is a mouthful, folks, and we could spend a lot more time than we're going to spend today looking at the real meaning behind the words that are given to us by the author of this epistle. The first thing that we find out is in verse 11. And the first point I want to make as the first consequence for immaturity is that we, if we remain immature, cannot be taught. Listen to what he says again in verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. If you fail to do those things which God requires of you in order to grow in your faith, you're going to remain an infant. And we can draw many illustrations from our human experience to what this passage is talking about. For those of you who have been parents, you know how difficult it is to teach an infant. Why? Because they are slow to learn. They don't get it. And we become frustrated at the fact that we can't effectively get them to understand what we're trying to say. Can you imagine for a moment and think about your own Christian experience? Because we're all somewhere in that timeline. Where you are today spiritually, can you imagine how frustrated God is as your Heavenly Father, knowing the potential that you have, yet you remain an infant because you... Listen, the truth of the matter is we don't often take our faith or our Lord seriously enough to commit ourselves to doing what it takes to grow in our faith. That is the bottom line, folks. We can dance around the reasons. But the truth of the matter is that everything else in life seems to take priority over our relationship to Him, as we seem to forget that the one whom we have a relationship with, a personal one, is God. Now, don't tell me, because I know this from personal experience, don't tell me you are not guilty often of remaining as an infant because you have done more to fulfill the meaningless things life throws at you rather than committing yourself to doing the things that will cause you to grow as a Christian. God never intended to save you in order for you to remain an infant. God saved you so that once you were saved, you would grow in your faith and you would reach the potential that you have for God. And the potential is unlimited. Because as Paul and as many other writers of the Bible tell us, when we become believers, the Holy Spirit takes residence in us. God literally lives in us. And how can I put a ceiling on the potential that I now have, having God living in me? But the author of Hebrews says, listen, you're immature. And to some extent and to some degree, in one way, shape, or form, we are all immature. Even Paul made that statement when he said, listen, the things that I know I ought to do, I don't do, and the things I ought not to do, I do. He was expressing his immaturity in some area of his life. We are all to some extent immature. In whatever the area of life you're immature in, that's the area God is speaking to you about today. You may be strong in an area, but you may be very weak in another one. And that weak area is your area of immaturity that God wants you to deal with. And he says, as long as you fail to recognize that you are slow to learn, you will remain immature. And as long as you remain immature, I can't teach you. God wants to teach you all about himself. God wants to teach you all about yourself. God wants to teach you all about the real meaning of life. God wants to answer all those profound philosophical questions that you have, but He can't because you're immature, and as a result, you are slow to learn and you can't be taught. Slow to learn here literally means dull of hearing. We don't hear Him. God is speaking, often screaming through His Word and through the sermons that you hear the pastor preach and in Bible studies. But you don't hear Him because you're dull of hearing. And you're dull of hearing because you're immature. I want to look at one passage that goes along with this verse. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Like newborn babes crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Milk is necessary. Because at some point you're an infant. When you're born again, though you're adopted into God's family as an adult son or daughter, spiritually speaking, you're an infant. And there's a place and a time for milk, and that is the time. But once you've taken in the milk, what Peter is saying is you have to start growing up. Listen to what he says. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Listen, I'm not questioning your faith. But I question the commitment of people who say they're believers but settle for mediocrity. How can somebody who has tasted, listen to what he says, that you have tasted that the Lord is good. How can somebody who has tasted the Lord and has seen Him face to face, spiritually speaking, and have had their hearts gripped by God, how can those people settle for mediocrity? Jesus must not mean a whole lot to us if that's all we are willing to give Him. The first consequence of immaturity, according to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, is that we cannot be taught. Have you often wondered why it is that you remain immature? Yet you say you read the Bible often, and you go to church often, yet you're still immature because you can't be taught. The second consequence is found in verse 12. Listen to what he says. Hebrews 5, verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, listen to this, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. I said there was a place and time for milk. At this stage in the life of the people who read this verse, unless we were born again yesterday, God is saying, listen, you need to have moved on from that stage of infancy where you were drinking milk, and by now you ought to be eating solid food. By now, you ought to have grown enough in your faith to be able to teach others what you have learned. But according to this passage, the second consequence of immaturity is in verse 12, and it says that we cannot teach others, which is understandable. How can you teach somebody when you yourself cannot be taught? Listen, the truths that God has allowed you to understand, the truths that are now shaping who you are as a person, as a Christian, are not truths that are meant for you to keep for yourself. You are to take what you have learned from God and teach it to others. Now listen, please understand this. You are not required to have a Bible degree. You are not required to have attended seminary in order to be able to teach others what God has taught you. God teaches all people the same things and the same truths, whether you have gone to college to study Bible or not. But we use that as an excuse. See, I'm not trained. By who? I thought my trainer, my teacher, was the Holy Spirit. I wasn't aware it was Dr. Smith at the local seminary. God gave you the Holy Spirit in order to instruct you on the things of the faith. And once you have been instructed on the things of the faith, he wants you to take that which you have learned and teach others. But you know what? Because we remain immature, we cannot teach others. And how can we ever claim to be effective witnesses and servants when the most basic thing we are told to do, we cannot do because we ourselves cannot be taught? Listen, you don't have to use words like propitiation and justification and redemption and all these fancy theological words when you share the truth with other people. You share your heart. You share those things that the Spirit has made plain to you. You share those truths that God has used to change your life with others. You share your experiences, your fellowship with Him, your walk with Him. Oftentimes, it is those people who don't even know the meaning of some of those profound theological terms who are the most effective people in reaching others for Jesus. That's the truth. But we have to be a mature person in the faith if we are first of all going to hear from God and be taught by God, remember the Holy Spirit, and secondly, if we're going to be able to take that which God has taught us and teach it to others. And you know what? We are commanded to do so. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Timothy 2 and 2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Now, are we going to say that this instruction was given by Paul only for Timothy to fulfill? I mean, this is one of the pastoral epistles. Paul is teaching young Timothy how to become a pastor, a minister. But the teaching and the instruction and the commandment and the admonition here is not only for Timothy, it's for all of us. Listen, when I teach another person, that other person will go out and teach two other people. And when those two people go out, they will teach two other people. Before you know, the domino effect has been such that which you started teaching at some point has become what others have learned, what multitudes have learned. There's a domino effect. What God is saying is, listen, I want you to be mature enough so I can talk to you about things regarding the faith. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know who you are. I want you to know what my son did. I want you to know what the death of Jesus means. I want you to know I want you to know the importance of the resurrection. I want you to know the importance of allowing the Spirit of God to live through you. I want you to know the importance of living a life that reflects the life of Jesus in the world. But if I'm going to do that, you must be teachable. But you're not, because you're immature. In whatever area God is saying you're immature, deal with it, because that's what God's wanting you to do. Once you do that, then you're able to teach. You're able to take the truth. Listen, the truth of God's Word. We're not peddling some romance novel here. We are communicating the Word of God. And what higher privilege is there in the world and in life than being able to take the Word of God, learning it, and then teaching it? Will you become perfect? No. That's the process of sanctification. It takes your entire life to grow. But you must make a choice to want to do the things that God requires you to do in order to grow in the faith. There's two more. The third consequence of immaturity is that we are unacquainted with righteousness. Look at verse 13 real quickly. 5:13. Anyone who lives on milk has a place in time. At this point, God is saying you need to be eating solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, meaning, you know, he's being sarcastic. You're not an infant, but you're acting like one. Is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Listen, the words "not acquainted" could be rendered inexperienced. What God is saying is, listen, you fail to experience righteousness because you are immature. It takes a person who is mature and who is eating solid food to experience the righteousness of Christ in him. Not my own righteousness. God's not wanting for me to experience my righteousness. I have no righteousness of my own. He's wanting me to experience the righteousness of Christ, which has been imputed to me as I entered into a personal relationship. He wants me to experience Jesus. But I can't, because I'm immature. The fourth consequence, verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Listen to what the Word of God is saying real quickly, because we're coming to an end. If we remain immature, we are unable to distinguish between good and evil. How do you know something's right, or how do you know something's wrong, if you don't know truth and you have remained immature? Listen. Wherever it is that you're experiencing immaturity, and you may be, like I said, you may be strong in certain areas, but wherever you're weak, that's your point of immaturity. God is saying, deal with it. Because these consequences become evident and you become ineffective for the work I have for you, for your life. Well, we've come to the end of this message. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to open your Word, study your Word, and preach and communicate your Word. We give you all the glory and honor in the name of Jesus.
You have been listening to Truth to Live By. Truth to Live By is a production and ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. This ministry is a listener-supported ministry. We pray that you would prayerfully consider supporting us both with your prayers and with your financial contributions. It is because of your faithful giving that this ministry is able to continue airing this program on this radio station. We do need your faithful and regular support. Would you please consider partnering with us so that we may be able to continue preaching and spreading and propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is our prayer that these programs have been beneficial to you and that God is using them for His own glory and to edify those of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you may be equipped for service, that you may be able to do the work of the kingdom, reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus. If you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would do so right now. It's a very simple step. All you need to do is pray from your heart, asking the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sin as you realize and recognize and repent of your own sin. Open your heart to Him and ask Him to come into your life so that He may be able to forgive you of your sin and grant you the gift of eternal life. If you've prayed that prayer, it is my privilege and on the authority of the Word of God to tell you that you have been adopted, brought into the family of God. Would you please let us know if you have made this decision for the Lord today? If you wish to request any CDs of any of our programs, order any of our resources that we have available in this ministry, please do so either by writing to us or by sending us an email. I am going to give you our contact information right now. Our writing address, our mailing address, is Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227-0279. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. If you, our phone number is 704-778-3759. If you need to order any resources, please let us know by writing or by email. And if you're wanting a CD of any of these programs, just let us know what radio station, the call letters of the station you heard us on, and also let us know the date on which you heard the program. We also want to point you to our website. The website address is www.rffiministries.org. There you can learn a great deal about us and see what resources we have available. It is indeed our pleasure to be able to join with you every week in the study of God's Word. May God richly bless you, and we will see you next week.